Welcome to Extending the Visual Studio 2010 SharePoint Development Tools presentation. My name is Phil Hoff, and this is Vladimir Morozov. We're both software development engineers with Microsoft, and specifically we're developers in Visual Studio that were part of the team that implemented the new SharePoint tools for Visual Studio 2010. So just a quick agenda. The first thing that we want to go over is just an overview of the development tools themselves. Are anybody SharePoint developers here? Does anybody know anything about the new SharePoint development tools in 2010? No. Okay. Then this will be good. So we'll just quickly go an overview of what the tools actually use look like from the user's perspective. Then we'll go on to talk about the actual project system itself, how third parties can extend that project system and insert their own custom functionality into the SharePoint tools. Then we'll go on to talking about two specific kinds of SharePoint, project system extensibility, project item extensibility, and SharePoint Explorer node extensibility. All right. So previously to Visual Studio 2010, SharePoint development was not the easiest thing in the world. Developers had to rely on often a suite of tools, both add-ons to Visual Studio itself, as well as external open source tools in order to do all the things that SharePoint requires to develop and deploy a solution. It involved a lot of writing of XML, a relatively complex packaging scheme, basically taking all the files, creating manifests for them so SharePoint knew where everything was in your package, and then compressing that into essentially what's a CAB file. So for Visual Studio 2010, what we wanted to do was really integrate development of SharePoint solutions with Visual Studio. And that's enable a complete end-to-end F5 experience, being able to start a new project, add your SharePoint artifacts, configure them, package them, then be able to hit F5, have it deployed to your local SharePoint installation, and be able to set a breakpoint in your Visual Web Part code and have it have that breakpoint get hit as soon as you hit F5. So when I mentioned complete end-to-end, that's creating of the SharePoint artifacts, generating the package manifests. The package manifests are what tell SharePoint where everything is within the package, creating the package itself, and then doing all the installation and activation of that package on your development machine. In addition to that, we knew that we weren't going to be able to cover all of the various SharePoint artifacts that exist today. SharePoint V3 was a very big product. SharePoint 2010 is an even bigger product. So what we also wanted to do was provide a very rich extensibility API so that third parties could fill in the gaps where they were needed, either by augmenting the functionality that we provided or by creating brand new functionality, being able to represent completely new SharePoint artifacts within the Visual Studio project system. So I thought we'd just start and taking a look at what the project actually looks like from a user's perspective. And then we'll do a quick demo just to show what it looks like in the IDE itself. So sort of the root component of a SharePoint project is obviously the project itself. So that's one point of extensibility. A SharePoint project is made up of a number of SharePoint project items. SharePoint project item represents an instance of a particular artifact within SharePoint. So that could be a list definition, it could be a visual web part, it could be a list instance, and so on. Each project item is then made up of a number of files, SharePoint project item files. Those files are the individual pieces that SharePoint needs in order to actually execute or use that SharePoint project item. So those are things like element manifests, which configures all the various properties of a list instance or a list definition. And we've grouped them. Those files actually may end up on the SharePoint server in a wide variety of different places. And so one of the things that we did is abstracted that a little bit in the SharePoint project system, where we group all of the files that are associated with a particular SharePoint artifact with a single project item in a single place in the project hierarchy. So once a developer has a set of project items, they often need to configure them into various features and within the package. So SharePoint has this concept of a feature. A feature is simply a grouping of project items that are intended to work together, to be activated together as a unit. It might be a workflow and then a list definition that that workflow is associated with. So you can see we have pieces of the project system that represent a feature definition. And the user can go in there and make various changes to all of the different feature properties that SharePoint offers. And then finally, there's the SharePoint package itself. So that is how everything gets bundled together and the way that they get bundled together. All right. So I'm going to break into our development machine, and we'll take a look at a very simple, just basic SharePoint project. So we'll go to start new project, and you can see there's a whole host of starting points for creating your SharePoint solution. You can start with the visual web part, event receiver, list definition, and so on. We'll go ahead and create a list definition. And of course, you're not restricted to that. As soon as you create a SharePoint project, you can add individual additional items as you need to. These are just a simple starting point. All right, so if you take a look at the Solution Explorer, we can see the various pieces that we referred to before. So there's in this particular SharePoint project, there are actual two project items. That's the list definition and the list instance. The list definition is sort of responsible for these two files that represent that list definition on the SharePoint server. The elements.xml, which we're looking at now, which is just configures that list definition, as well as the schema.xml. And those files will actually get packaged and deployed to the server. There's also the list instance, which just has one single file, the elements.xml. Now, if we go open up the feature designer, we can see those two project items are represented in the feature as well. A SharePoint project will typically start off with a default feature, and then as you add new items, they by default get added to that default feature. But of course, you can create your own features and then move project items around. If we then open the package designer, we can see it simply contains that one single default feature. And so if we were to go and deploy that solution, it will package all the files up, create manifests for it as part of that package, actually deploy it to the local SharePoint instance that's running on the same machine, and then do all of the deployment steps. So that's recycling the application pool, installing the solution, activating the individual features that make up that feature, everything that's needed to sort of automate that installation process. And so all of that's taken care of for the user. So if we go back to the slides. So as far as sort of the overall architecture of the SharePoint development tools, there are kind of two main pieces. The first is sort of Visual Studio itself. I mean, technically, they're both part of Visual Studio, but we kind of split them up, or we think of it in two different parts. Visual Studio, that is our SharePoint development tools infrastructure, which is built on top of the standard Visual Studio extensibility mechanisms, that is VSIP, DTE, as well as the new Visual Studio 2010 extensibility mechanisms, that is V6, as well as MEF, which is new to .NET Framework 4.0. So we have our development tools infrastructure, and those are kind of split into three sub-pieces. The first is the project system. So we have our own SharePoint project flavor, which is built on top of the workflow flavor, which is built on top of the C# library flavor. And we also have a component for extending Server Explorer and adding a SharePoint connection to Server Explorer. So we have a whole subset of our infrastructure that's designed for extending that piece. And then we also have a third piece, which is what we call SharePoint commands, which is the ability to, from Visual Studio, be able to execute logic against the SharePoint object model, be able to grab all of the data that's within SharePoint, and then pass that back to Visual Studio. And we'll talk more about why commands are necessary later. All right. So there are a number of extensibility points within Visual Studio, or within our SharePoint project system. The first is the project itself. So you can do things like add context menus or menu items to the context menu for SharePoint projects in your solution, and then handle those menu items and do whatever action you want to do at the project level. The second is project items. So this is one of the most common ways we think people are going to extend the project system. And what you can do with project items, and we'll talk more about that in depth later, but you can, in addition to simply creating new kinds of project items, you know, things that we haven't covered in the product or things that don't ship in the box, you can also simply augment the functionality of existing project items. Similarly, with SharePoint Explorer, you can create brand new nodes and have them show up in Server Explorer to represent some new piece of functionality within SharePoint, as well as simply extend the existing functionality that ships in the box with Visual Studio 2010. As I mentioned before, there's the ability to create SharePoint commands and be able to execute code against the SharePoint object model and have the results of that be passed back to Visual Studio and your extension that's running in Visual Studio. They're what we call deployment steps. So not only do we ship a series of steps in the box that by default get your solution deployed on your local machine, but if you need to do some custom work, if you create a new project item that has some custom piece of deployment logic, you can also create a new deployment step to execute that piece that will get executed whenever the user hits F5. There's also what we call design time package validation. So when you create a package, there's often obvious things that are wrong. If somebody has created an elements.xml, an elements manifest that's invalid at XML, obviously that's not going to deploy correctly. And so we have a series of core validation rules that get run every time you package your solution that will pick out things like that. Not only just obvious syntactic errors, but also semantic errors, things like you're including the same project item twice in the same package, which isn't allowed. It may actually package correctly, but when you actually go to deploy it, deployment may fail. So not only is there a core set that get run whenever you package the product, but there's also an extensibility point that allows you to add your own package validation rules, and those can get executed within the IDE. Finally, there is some limited MS build packaging extensibility. So there's the ability, packaging is done through MS build that enables a scenario such as team build, being able to package a SharePoint solution without having Visual Studio installed. And so all the packaging is actually performed via MS build. And so there's various points during the build process that you can use to modify what gets packaged and how things get packaged. All right, so now we want to go a little bit more in depth about how to actually extend SharePoint project items themselves. So like I mentioned before, there are two primary things that you can do. You can create a brand new project item for a new kind of SharePoint artifact that, say, for example, wasn't shipped in the box. There's the ability to create sort of flavors of the existing project items. So if you have a list definition that you find yourself doing the same thing over and over and over again, you can simply create a new project item template that maybe pre-configures a lot of those things. And so all you're doing is you're using the base functionality, but just maybe doing some pre-configured things. In addition to that, you can add incremental behavior to the existing project items. So you can do things like subscribe to all the various events that are happening to that particular project item, when that project item gets deployed, when that project item has files added to it, when that project item, when the user right-clicks on that project item, you have the ability to add project item level context menu items and handle those actions. You can use traditional vSIP integration and integrate designers with project items, as well as expose additional properties through the properties window whenever a user selects a project item. If you need to keep track of some custom configuration data on a per project item basis, you have that ability as well. And then finally, as I mentioned before, you can customize the deployment of existing project items. So every time you hit F5 or control F5 and your project item actually gets deployed, you can register to receive a callback whenever that happens, and that allows you to do some custom behavior. All right. So just a little bit more about sort of how the different parts of the project system work together. So the project itself is composed, as we saw in the demo, of one or more project items. These project items are simply represent instances of a particular project item type. And a project item type would be a list definition, a list instance, a visual web part, content type, and so on. And so your first point of extension is to create a project item type extension. And that's what you would use to simply augment existing functionality. So you'd create a project item type extension. In its initialize method, you'd get past that project item type, and that would allow you to connect up all of your event handlers, set up any, read any configuration data that you need to, and so on. If that doesn't quite fulfill your needs, then you might need to create a brand new project item type. And you would do that through what we call a project item type provider. So project item type provider, in its initialize method, it gets handed a project item type definition. And that definition allows you to sort of build a new project item type. So it exposes a bit more more properties and functionality than, say, a project item type extension would, and allows you to basically gives you a wider range of things to configure than you would if all you're doing is creating a type extension as opposed to a type provider. And then once you've created your type provider, of course, and built it using the type definition, you end up with a brand new project item type. And from there, you can instantiate that project item type within your project. All right. So creating a project item extension isn't really that difficult. With V6 and MEF, it basically comes down to doing sort of three basic things. The first thing is to implement our project item type provider interface. The second thing is to export that interface. So that's a component of MEF, if you're familiar with MEF. An export is just an attribute that tells MEF or whoever's hosting add-ins via MEF that there's this extension there, and that extension is an extension of this particular type. And then finally, there's an additional attribute, the SharePoint project item type attribute, which tells our project system that this is not only just a MEF extension for that exports this particular type, but what basically gives it an ID that we can use to map to instances of a project item within the user's project. And so when the user loads a SharePoint project that contains one of your project items, some of the data that's stored with the project is that ID. So that allows the project system to go to Visual Studio, ask it to give us an instance of that type provider. Okay. So now we want to do a quick demo of how to create a project item type provider. So creating a brand new project item type that represents some new piece of SharePoint functionality that doesn't ship in the box with Visual Studio. So first, I'll start with pretty much a skeleton project. So this project item type provider doesn't actually do very much, but it's sort of the minimal set of things you need in order to have that project item type show up in our project system. So you can see it's a standard V6 project, so we have a V6 manifest. And let's look at the XML view instead. Standard V6 manifest. The second piece is the type provider definition itself. So as we mentioned before, you can see that it simply exports the iSharePoint project item type provider interface, which tells MEF and Visual Studio that this is a SharePoint, that this is an extension, and this is the type of thing that it extends. We also have a SharePoint project item type attribute. And you can simply say that it's simply set to a unique string, just so that we can uniquely identify this particular extension when users actually create instances of it. And then optionally, there is a SharePoint project item type icon attribute, which allows us to modify the icon that's shown, say, in Solution Explorer. Otherwise, you end up with a default project or a default icon. So we implement the iSharePoint project item type provider interface, and it basically boils down to one method, initialize type. As I mentioned before, initialize type gets past this type definition instance, and from there you can do things like set the name of the type, connect up all your event handlers, define how instances of that project item behaves within the project. So for example, you can say that this particular type can only be added directly to a package and not to a feature. SharePoint, some project item types in SharePoint are sort of considered package level versus feature level. Some can actually exist in both levels. And so you have a lot of flexibility in defining how the user can interact with instances of these project items. So the first thing that we'll do is, we'll also show the item template itself. It's probably going to be rare that you create a type provider without an actual way for the user to create an instance of that new type within their project. So not only are we shipping the extension itself, but we're also going to package an item template for that. And the item template is three basic files, and in some cases you might even be able to get away with two. The first is the VS template, of course, just standard Visual Studio item template. The second is a SharePoint data file. And this is a file that's used by the SharePoint project system specifically to maintain information about that project item. So for example, you can see that project item here again is that unique ID. So whenever you create a new instance of that project item, a new instance of this file gets created and associated with that project item in the project. And this is how the project system maps that particular project item instance to the type provider. There's other things like defining what the default file is. So if you double-click on a project item in the Solution Explorer, what file gets opened by default, and then some additional information about each individual file within it. For example, in this case, it's the elements.xml, and it's considered an element manifest. This is used during packaging to determine how to generate the package manifest for that particular file. So if we were to go and build it and install it, and this time we're actually using the experimental Hive just to make things simpler so that we don't have to go install it ourselves, we'll create a new project and we'll show how we can create new instances of this brand new project item type. All right, so let's go create a new project. And again, we'll just create a list definition, but you could really create anything. You could even ship a project template that automatically comes with a default instance of your new project item type if you wished. So again, if we open up the feature designer, we can see the two list definitions and list instance project items here. Now what we'll do is we'll see how we can add our new instance of our new type. Got one minor step, and that is do a complete rebuild. All right. Sometimes I forget to do a complete rebuild, otherwise sometimes the V6 package doesn't get generated correctly. But in any case, now you can see here's our item template for allowing us to create our new custom type. So we can go ahead and just add a new instance of it. You can see it shows up now in Solution Explorer in the same way that any other in-the-box project items show up. Contains a single elements.xml. And not only that, if we go back to the feature designer, you can now see your custom type is now automatically added to your feature. If we were to then go and build a package, we could see that the WSP will be created. WSP is just the name of a SharePoint project package. In other words, third-party extensions get treated exactly the same way as all the in-the-box extensions. In fact, we use for the in-the-box extensions use the exact same API. There's no secret handshakes behind the in-the-box ones versus the rest of the project system. Anything that you can do, or anything that the in-the-box project item extensions can do, third parties can do as well. Okay, so that's just sort of the basics of getting your project, your new project item type into a project. But right now it doesn't do very much. So what I want to do next is basically go back and actually add some functionality. So we'll go ahead and close that project. So in here, as I mentioned before, here's the point where we can go and configure our new project item type. So what I want to do next is just quickly do two things. Number one, create a new menu item for our new project item type, and then also create a custom deployment action, or hook up to the deployment completed step. Let's see. So to create a menu item, basically we just subscribe to the project item menu items requested event, which gets called whenever the user right clicks a menu item on that project item type.